Welcome to episode 30 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I'm Pete, and sitting alongside me is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. And why are you looking at me like that?
Because you didn't do a quote.
Well, because we're not going to do a quote. Because I'm not editing right now.
Well, I know you're not going to edit, but I thought you'd still do a quote.
Well, I know there's going to be some people disappointed if I don't do a quote because Kevin... when we were talking about this, said he could literally hear your eyes roll when I would
half
do those.
Half the time. Not all the time.
Most of the time.
But it feels weird not to have a quote.
Well, you know, I don't know how to edit this thing in, and I thought it would be weird to do the quote and say, and this is the Fat Man Chronicles, and then have no music. So basically, what we've decided to do is self-edit. We've been sending this thing out to be edited. And we are amateurs, and as much as we appreciate our patrons, there's not enough of you yet to support professional editing.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of cost to this thing.
Maybe we could play the music on our phones, like into the microphone.
we could do this. Like, I could hook the computer into it and then just play it.
Yeah.
It has to be, I don't know. There's a lot of work to this. I'm going to learn how to do it.
I think people are going to be upset about the quote.
I don't think anybody's going to miss that.
I feel like we're going to get some hate mail and they're going to miss the quote.
I don't think anybody misses that quote.
People will probably not. I have stopped listening because there's no quote.
Maybe they want to hear quotes from you.
They don't want to hear quotes from me. That's crazy talk.
Why not?
Because, yeah, no.
You could do like a Real Housewives quote of the week.
Be like, because on the beginning of all the Housewives, they do like taglines. So like each of them, like when they're like basically introducing them, they have like their own little tagline. So I could do all the different taglines from the Housewives. No.
Instead, why don't you know what we haven't eliminated?
What's in that bottle?
Yeah. What's in that bottle?
We have a bottle tonight. We haven't had a bottle in a couple episodes.
That's true. You were on hiatus.
Yeah. I kind of started itching a little bit because I hadn't had any alcohol in me in a while. So we are drinking Tarima. I thought it might be Tarima, but yeah. It's an estate bottled. Old vines. Let me see. I don't have my glasses on. It's red. And it's a Monastrell grape.
Monastrell, yeah.
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out
where it's from.
Yeah, hold on.
This
I'll
is a lot
it.
Of a lot of reading silently for a podcast.
But usually it's like on the front, a bad labeling by these people.
I think it is on the front. I think it says like DO something.
No.
Let me see that thing.
It does not. Hold on. I'm trying to find out where it's
from. Well, I can tell you where it's from.
I know, but that's no fun. Nobody wants to know. You know where things are from.
True.
See, it's from Alicante?
Alicante, yeah.
Alicante. That's where. Where is that?
Spain. I was just there.
You were.
Literally.
There's España. There it is. It was imported by someone in Lincolnshire.
Well, there you go.
Sorry. Anyways.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, that's the wine. That's what's in that
bottle.
We
do have something in that bottle tonight. And what do you think of it? Have you taken a sip?
I did. It's good. I like it.
It's a big wine. Juicy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it was described as a sexy fruit bomb with class. Which is often the way people describe me.
No.
No.
All the time.
Yeah, that was in our email blast for work. So
it's
I had
tasty.
To open it because I had to make sure that I knew what it tasted like
so
before we
write
it up.
Yeah.
Write it up.
We always enjoy that. I like it. I'll drink it.
Well, we haven't recorded for a couple of weeks. The episode that we did for episode 29 with Peter Belarczyk was very well received. We got some nice feedback on that.
It was a fun episode to do. Learn more of the science behind stuff from someone that actually knows what they're talking about, not just, you know, you pretending.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know much of anything. But I thought he made it understandable.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
What I think resonated from what I heard from a lot of people is the part where he talked about the fact that, look, I'm a coach, but I get at some point you've got some non-negotiables.
Yeah.
And so if you want to do those things, we're going to work them in. But you might have progress slowed.
Right.
So you may want to reconsider how and when you use that.
Mm-hmm.
That really seemed to resonate, though, overall.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it really fits our approach, too. So we'll take Peter up on that opportunity
for
some individual coaching here soon, which we really, really appreciate.
We do.
But really, it's been a couple of weeks.
Oh, I have notes.
With no views from the couch.
I know, because, and let me tell you, our one of our original patron, our OP original patron, she was very upset that there was no views from the couch. Like, as she's listening to the episode, she's texting me, what do you mean there's no views from the couch? She's like, why didn't you do it after? And I'm like, no. Everyone was tired of listening to us by the end of the episode. So, but I took notes.
Wow.
I did, because they're not as long as I thought they were. I kind of remember, in my mind, I took more notes than this.
Well, this is John Harris's favorite part, so make sure you have enough for him. Him and Rob, I'm sure, are riveted right now.
It's been a while, and I was gone. Like, I had a lot of shows to catch up on. So we had some reunions.
Oh.
And so Real Housewives Atlanta reunion. Kenya. Is pregnant, so that's congratulations to her. Do you remember the show? Okay, you know the show, America's Next Top Model, right? With Tyra.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the original. I want to say she was like the second winner from that. So long, because that show's been on for a very long time. She was on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Can't believe I've never brought that up before. But anyway, she's on there this season, pregnant. 10 months pregnant, having contractions while filming the reunion. Crazy.
Like 10 months, like that's when you're supposed to be done with this, right? Because it's 40 weeks.
40 weeks. Yeah. Like she's like, and so Dr. Jackie, who's on Married to Medicine, her OBGYN.
Oh, so they had a crossover
episode? There's a crossover for the baby. So she's like on the phone with Eva, like, hey, you know, try not to get angry with people. Keep calm. I mean, it was hilarious that she's there and like, you know, she's doing the rubbing of the belly when you're, I wouldn't know. I never had, I had the Braxton Hicks, but I never went into labor, which was awesome in my opinion. So, but it was pretty funny, but It's funny. I'm watching this episode, you know, I'm watching the reunion, and it's like at the end of the season, everyone makes up, everyone's happy, everyone's best friends. And then all of a sudden, like they're at the reunion, and it's because all the shows just aired and they all kind of rewatch them. They all get angry again. And then they bring up stuff again. And they even go back like to like previous seasons. Well, remember 10 years because it's been on 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah, 10 seasons. So probably because they don't do a season. Well, how often do they go? You know, we'll need Linda to tell us. I think
I
they
have
do
the Google.
One.
Which
Atlanta, Real House of Atlanta. I think it's been on. It's they do a couple seasons.
Well, you keep talking. I have the Google.
So,
I'll look it up.
Yeah. So, but there's 10 seasons of this, and they're like, remember 10 seasons ago when you did this, blah blah blah, and it's just like, seriously, like, let it go, people. You know, it's why bring up? I mean, I know it's TV. I get it. But some of the stuff that they say to each other is like career damaging. I mean, they say some really crazy stuff to each other. So that's still going on.
Oh my gosh,
on.
You're right. It premiered on October 7th, 2008.
Yes, I thought so. I feel like they only do one per calendar year, essentially. Crazy. I know. So then I binged watched my Unreal. So that's the show. So was it Kevin? He said he watched it. Someone else watched it. One of our listeners. I talked about it, but someone actually, they told me what, they corrected us and said it was on Lifetime. It's on Lifetime. But Unreal is the show about The Bachelor. It's kind of Bachelor, but it's a drama series.
Wasn't that on the Vinnie Tortorich episode that we were listening to? It was.
Oh, Vinnie. Yes, that's
Vinnie
right.
Tortorich
Vinnie Tortorich was
Anna.
Talking about on Anna. Yeah. So I binge watched that. I had like 9 episodes to watch of that one. And that's just crazy. I mean, those people are, it takes it to such, and it's scripted, right? But it's supposed to be pretend reality show. And I mean, this is the things that they do and like how they manipulate the contestants, like the guys, and they had a female suitor. And, you know, it's just like, you wonder, does that go on like in the real reality shows, like The Bachelor.
Of course it does.
Where they like try to create the drama and manipulate things.
Well, there would be no show without drama.
Yeah, but is it all orchestrated?
Of course.
Aw, that's sad. Because it's like you want these people to find love.
How many of those
love?
People have really ended up
together?
Well,
you have Tristan and the first, the one.
I don't know.
Well, that's all. They have a couple kids, actually. So I binge watched that. And then Real Housewives New York, Carol ran the New York Marathon.
Yeah, I actually sent you an article on that,
yes,
didn't I?
Yes, you did. You did. So this is a woman. She's older. Never worked out a day in her life. She's skinny as all heck, though. Like, she was just naturally skinny.
But her attitude about running was the same as yours.
Right. There's no need to run. That was her thought process. And then all of a sudden, something in her mind, she decides she wants to run. Her late husband had run the marathon and was a runner. And she never understood. She never got why, like, he's, like, into this running and what it meant to finish this marathon, especially the New York Marathon. Because I think a lot of people would agree. Like, there's something about the New York Marathon that people, like, finishing that is, like,
it's no Boston, but it's a
right,
big deal.
But it's a big deal.
It's a big marathon.
It's a big marathon.
In the United States, in the world, Boston's at the top. But,
is it?
You know, New York and Chicago are the next, you know, like, 1B.
Right. So,
Atlanta.
She never really saw the big deal of it. She's like, whatever. And then I think she's only been training, like she says on the show, like she was only training like 4 months to run this marathon.
Well, that's possible.
It's crazy to me. But she hired a coach and she like talks about how she just now she loves to run. Like she hated it and she loved to, you know, she just started loving running from it. But it took her a very long time to finish. Like obviously she was in very, like she was on this week's episode, she was talking about how she was looking at her watch and it's like 1 o'clock and she's still running. And it's like, you know, it's like still going on. Like I think she was on the risk of being swept, which was her goal, was to finish before they picked her up in the car. That was her goal.
So I looked up the article or an article,
yeah,
not the article, but an article. And uh-huh. It says that she's 54
yes,
years old.
It.
And she said that the 30-year-old Carol would say to her, "Are you effing kidding me?"
Yeah.
And she ran it in 6 hours
right.
and 42 minutes, which is.
She finished it. That's amazing to me. I couldn't do that.
I think it's great.
But she said, like, and when they're doing, because they filmed her doing the marathon, you know, so they had her in different stages of the marathon, and like they do the voiceover, and she's like, you know, 2 minutes in, all of a sudden, I felt a pain in my knee that I never felt before, and I was like, great, how am I going to do this? And you know, she said that she just pushed through it, and eventually she got into a rhythm. I thought it was interesting though, when she starts running. And again, like the race starts and she's running and she's actually holding her phone.
Yeah.
Like but it's not in a case. It's not in anything. It's just in her hand.
Well, I think that she did that pretty much the whole way.
I mean, that's crazy to me. Like,
a lot of people do that.
Like, but how you hold your phone? Like, you have like a case that you put it in and then like it's in your hand. We have those, right?
Well, but very few people have what we have.
Yeah.
So most people put it either if you're going to be out there that long, you'll put it like in your fuel
right,
belt.
Exactly.
Right?
Something. No, she
Which
had it in her
do,
phone.
Well, I do see a fuel
belt. Yeah, she had a belt.
On. It's
she had
pink,
a belt.
It looks like.
Yeah, she had
and,
a belt.
And, you know, or they'll put it in an armband.
Right.
But it looks like
she
just carried hers.
She was carrying her phone.
Was she live the whole time? Well, she's got some earbuds in there.
Yeah, she had earbuds.
iPods, I think they're called. No, iPod would be different.
That would be different.
Those Apple earbud things.
Yeah. Yeah, the wireless one. She had those in. She didn't go. I don't know. I don't think she went. I think she said she tried to go FaceTime live or like live at one point. But they just filmed her throughout the, you know, a couple snapshots.
Wow, her late husband.
Yeah.
My apologies. It is a Real Housewives show, so that's not saying ex is just automatically to mine.
No.
Her late husband, it says here, completed the marathon in 2 hours 58 minutes 17 seconds, and he was John F. Kennedy Jr.'s cousin?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So she like,
and
she
he
was
died.
A
so he died from cancer just cancer. A few weeks after JFK crashed. Yes. It looks like.
Yes.
Wow.
And she was a reporter. She was a reporter, like a you know, documented reporter, you know, respected and all that stuff. She's written books. She's written a couple books as well. So, but yeah, no, she's one of the legit. But it was funny, like during the season they had the election, or I guess that would have been last season they had the election, and she was hardcore Hillary, obviously, and like she was like crying hysterically on the show, like it was. And there's another woman on the show that voted for Trump, even though she said she didn't, like she never admitted to it, but she did. By not admitting it, it's kind of like saying you did in my, you know, in their world. So like, and she's just like, I just like was yelling at her, like, I can't believe you did this. That was last season. We weren't doing Views from the Couch last year, so I couldn't share that, but it was pretty funny. But Carol's, I mean,
oh, and we don't do politics.
No, but it was pretty funny though, like just watching her kind of collapse. It's like, because you knew what happened, right? And like, she's like, oh, she's gonna win, but you knew what happened, so that was entertaining. But yeah, so she ran the. So I was watching,
cool.
And I was like, "Hey, the runners out there, so my housewives."
Did it inspire you to?
No, but I do have a question. So, and this episode. Well, the next week's episode, they're going to talk. One of the women is throwing her a party for completing
the marathon.
Is that like something people do?
Maybe rich people.
It's just. It was like, okay, so. Not discounting her, right? Obviously, completing
and I'm not
a
sure
marathon.
And I'm not sure the demographics of our audience in terms of income, but I don't think any are marathon party people.
I don't know. I was like, is this, I didn't know. It's a real question. Like, is this is something that rich people, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, maybe it's.
Because I know it's a great accomplishment.
It is.
Not discounting that at all, but like, you throw a party for a person?
Well, I don't
You've
think.
Never thrown your brother a party.
No. Yeah, my brother, big partier. I don't think that it's a thing. However, I think it's just as legit as throwing a party or whatever you want to call it, a get together, a party for any accomplishment.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm looking for when I finally get to that.
Do you want us to throw you a party?
Do you want
a party after Springfield, after a Champagne half marathon?
No. I mean, if you want to use stuff as an excuse to have a party, have at it. But I'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a real question. I didn't know if that was something that people like, because I know it's a great accomplishment. And so I'm not discounting that by any mean. I just didn't know that was like friends throwing a party for you accomplishment.
You know, I haven't watched a lot of Real Housewives in my life.
Yeah.
However, I believe that those people are any excuse for a party.
Well, it's Bethany's birthday at the same time. So well, they're all in the Hamptons.
Why wouldn't you do it then?
I kind of felt like they were taking away from Bethany's birthday.
Oh, man. I bet you Bethany's going to feel that, too.
I know. It's next week.
Drama.
We'll save that for next week's Views from the Couch. Well, I guess it won't because, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. But so that's
well, next week we might have a guest, but that doesn't mean that we can't have some Views from the Couch. Well,
my public.
We're trying to line it up.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's a.
Or maybe we'll do an episode in between.
What else? I did binge something else. What else did I binge? Oh, the Royals. You know, my love for like British, like royalty and stuff like that.
So.
That's also a scripted drama.
Why aren't I. So, Kevin.
Yeah.
You brought up earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he watches. I mean, I know he watches The Bachelor.
Yeah. I feel like he said he watched the Unreal. He watched Unreal.
I don't know,
well,
but I
sure.
do know he's a huge fan of the When Meghan Met Harry podcast, which I'm surprised
right.
that you don't give that a try.
I think we talked about that. And you were gonna download. So like one time we were in the car.
Well, I don't want to listen to it.
Why not? There's a Lifetime movie about when Meghan met Harry. When Harry met Meghan.
I don't know how. I don't know which way.
Yeah.
It goes.
But there's a Lifetime movie now about them. Well, their wedding is the May 19th, I want to say. It's coming up.
Oh, maybe that's the end of the podcast then.
I don't know.
I don't know how that all works.
Yeah.
All right. So is that
all
from the couch?
That's all. I thought it was
a big recap.
It's a big recap. I have caught up on all my shows.
So how has your step goal been going?
Well, as you pointed out one time, my Fitbit was not on me for a couple days.
At least a couple of days.
Yeah. And then it fell off me the other day. And when I went to go to bed, take it off, it wasn't there. And I was like, and I was worried I lost it. But I found it. It was wrapped up in my Snuggie.
Okay.
So it's on me, but it's not, I'm not hitting the 4,000 steps that I'm doing. I'm still doing at least 2,000.
So I think we're going to have to tone down our epic hike to just
so
a
I want to talk about our epic hike because I was looking at, and I think we should push it to the fall, and not because of my training or their lack of is obviously a portion of it. Even though I feel like I could really do up it up and get to a point where I could do it, maybe be in pain the next day.
Undertrained, overconfident, got it.
Yep. But also it's not the best, like we talked about doing it the first week of June. And now with me going to Arizona for my friend's babies and like that's a, there's a lot of stuff going on that first week of June for work. I just don't know if I could take any time off as was my concern.
Well, I think we should still do some hiking in between.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
maybe
I'm
we can
for that.
We could do some hiking to try to build up
build
and
up
get
to
you
our epic hike.
Well, I think I'd be okay right now. I'm going to be well, then. Properly trained and confident on this. So I think that we could do a few smaller hikes in between there.
Yeah.
To try
oh,
to
for sure.
gauge where
well,
we're at.
Well, it's beginning to be nicer weather. So this is usually when we go to the Arboretum more. And
well, it should have been nicer weather a while ago. But yeah. It's just now across the United wow. States becoming spring, I hear.
Yeah.
In some parts.
When we woke up this morning, there was snow on the ground. So
there was snow on the ground this morning.
That was not fun.
And I've just seen so many posts where it's still in the 20s out east. And
I think Wisconsin still has like, in Minnesota still has like tons of snow. Like it's not melting.
Well, one of the people that I ran the Bunny Rock with,
yes.
Pam,
mm-hmm.
she had a post from the Great White North that they had a blizzard. And the school was closed. And
Mom in Nebraska, I mean, they had a huge blizzard where like the
recently
Sunday or Monday. Yeah. This week. Like it was like she sent me pictures. She sent my brother and I pictures. And like you see, like it's this cover. And Uncle Ed had to go out there and shovel. Like people, it was all ice and snow. It was blizzard.
But a blizzard?
Yeah, blizzard.
All right. I don't know. Blizzard sounds like it wasn't.
They called it a blizzard.
We're talking about 16 inches
well,
up in
not
Wisconsin.
16 inches. They didn't get. I mean, a blizzard can be less than 16 inches.
I'm going to go with that wasn't a blizzard.
They said it. The news was calling it a blizzard. The Weather Channel called it blizzard.
Jeez.
I'm just saying. You want to go yell at the Weather Channel. That's
no,
fine. I'm cool with that.
Look, I communicate with Kevin almost every day who lives right there.
Yeah, so
and
ask
he never,
him.
He said it was bad. He never said a blizzard.
Oh, well.
So I just think that that's kind of strong.
Maybe.
I take
are
my
you
blizzards.
Calling, are you calling the West Point News a little overreacting?
Yes. I take my blizzards with weather and ice cream seriously. Both of those are serious business to
they
me.
They called it a blizzard. That's all I
all right, well,
say.
So I was in Spain.
Yes.
In this, and there was snow there. I went to Spain thinking, get away from the snow.
I didn't see snow in the radar for you. It was just supposed
snow,
to be rain.
There was snow. Let it snow. It
but you
was
were up in
snow.
The mountains when it was snowing, right?
No, not all the time, no.
Oh.
But I higher elevation, somewhat higher, but not in the mountains the entire time that there was snow. But it was tough. That was a rough week. There was copious amounts of traveling, 6 to 10 hours a day in a, you know, small vehicle.
Yes.
With strangers.
How many people were on it with you? Like how many people were
in
traveling?
The total?
Well, yeah.
Like there was 15, there was three vehicles
okay.
like in 15 people.
Okay.
So there was, each vehicle had six people in it. There was a driver
and then
five people.
Five people. Okay.
So
15 people total in your little group.
Yes. Yes. And we went everywhere. And there's some places I'd love to go back to because I didn't really get time with them.
Yeah.
And one in particular I wanted to walk around in Segovia, but I couldn't because I had tweaked my knee mm-hmm. in a winery. So of all the things I did not need was to hurt my knee enough to limp around for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Iced it, elevated it. took a lot of Advil.
Good thing you took my little pill bag with you.
Well, that came in handy for other people too. So other people used the pill bag reluctantly when they were having some aches and pains. But there was a lot. So basically my day consisted of no sleep, get in a van, drive 4 to 6 hours, drink some wine.
In the van?
No.
Okay.
Drink some wine at a winery, get a tour, drink some wine, limp around for me, eat, maybe go to another winery, drive, go to dinner at 9:30 at night.
Which is normal in Spain.
Eat for 3 hours, stumble back to the hotel, and get a couple of hours sleep before you got up and did it all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, these were long days.
Yeah.
So lots of eating and drinking. And so I put the over-under at 4 pounds for weight gain. And I had, let me think. There was some betting going on, over and under. Some people had confidence I could keep it under. Some people were over. When I finally got on the scale at home, so we got home and then the next morning, I was exactly 4 pounds up.
So you don't owe anyone any money.
Right. If I had to have guessed, though, before I stepped on the scale, I would have said 10 to 12.
Because you're so bloated.
I felt horrendous. And in the end, I'm not even sure. I mean, we ate a lot. All right. I mean, the last meal of the trip was, for me, the best meal. I mean, it was unbelievable. Hanging out next to a couple of guys from New Orleans that I met that were on the trip. Adam and Bill, who are also in my van.
Yeah.
Great, great guys. And we had, I mean, just an unbelievable meal. Michelin starred restaurant.
Yeah.
And ate every darn course, drank, you know, some wine. And okay, that's a lot. And we did big meals over and over and over. Lots of traditional food and lots of seafood, lots of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of vegetables.
Overrated.
Yeah. And I thought for sure I would be bigger, but I wasn't. Uh-huh. And I think that the lack of sleep and the stress of the trip probably had me gain as much as the food at that, in all honesty, because it was rough.
I mean, the quantity you had was a lot more than what we normally have, but the type of food, like, because you were sending me pictures, not of everything, obviously, but, you know, you said that you tried to keep down how much bread, you had a bread every once in a while, but you weren't having all the bread, and, like, the meals themselves, you know, didn't look like they were, you know, it's a lot, like you said, it's a lot of seafood. There wasn't a ton, it's not like you had a ton of rice or a ton of pasta. You didn't have, that wasn't part of their, that's not part of their diet either. So
towards the end, there was a lot more rice and I had a little bit of it. I didn't have a lot. And basically I would pick and choose which meals I would have more at and which I would have less. And then would have some desserts when I thought they were great. And, you know, I just kind of used my head a little bit and I had to really think about it because I couldn't really run for those couple of days.
Right.
And then when I was able to run, I had to take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was not able to get my 12 miler in at Park Güell like I wanted to because
it was raining.
It was raining and I was really worried about how that would react on the knee. So instead I ran about 7 total, I ran a 5K on the treadmill and it was like 80 degrees with 80% humidity in that room. So I was like, forget it. I'll go outside. So I threw on my 10 junk miles hat and a Fat Man Chronicle shirt and went outside and kind of just ran up and down the median of, you know, the avenue there, Diagonal. And it was great. And I felt good. Yeah. But I didn't want to push it. Andy had said, don't go above 8 miles. And so I'm like, 7's good, you know, and let's get that done. And then I went and met up with those guys from New Orleans.
Right.
And then drink at an Irish pub. Things that I never drink. Guinness and Jameson.
Yeah, you were pretty, by the end of the night, you were feeling pretty good.
No, I was feeling pretty bad.
Feeling good as meaning you had
well, I mean, one of those would have been too many. So, and we had more than one. So that was not, I mean, and then I had to get up in 4 hours
right.
to get on a plane. That was not my smartest move.
But you had fun while doing it.
Sure. And then
you said you had fun while doing it.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was great. I mean, it's always fun to hang out with people and talk to strangers in bars, right? Some English guys and stuff. So that was good. But my training wasn't where I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. So I started to get a little bit worried. And then, you know, I kind of backed off it. You know, some people that I always talk to about this stuff, including Kevin and Sarah, are like, look, you're going to be fine. Andy, you're going to be fine. I'm not concerned. And then I struggled when I got home with some runs, but today felt good. I think I was just struggling in general. Like, I've gone to sleep early and, you know, I haven't felt great for a couple of days. So with the race coming, I was just kind of worried. But we're just over a week away now.
Almost.
But when this will release on Friday. I mean, we're recording Thursday night. Now that I don't have to send it out, we can release it right away. So we'll release it sometime on Friday. And, you know, it'll be 8 days until the race.
Yep.
The half marathon in Champaign, Illinois. So, whew, big one. And I was talking about goals for that, right?
Yeah.
I was talking with Sarah today, actually up until just about when we were recording. And, you know, my goal was to get a PR.
Mm-hmm.
My PR currently is 2 hours, 42 minutes and change. I really want to get a 2:30 or break a 2:30. I haven't talked to Andy about that, but I feel like my training's gone pretty well overall. Only these few hiccups. My knee feels good now, finally. I do think it was a little tweaked. It's more stiff than anything, but it's loosening up. And I'd really like to break 2:30. So, and then Sarah starts sending me calculators telling me I could be 2:20, 2:19, 2:20. And I'm like, hey.
Let's not go crazy here.
Oh, wait a minute. But overall, I feel pretty darn good about it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get motivated when you watch things like the Boston Marathon.
Oh, right.
Which was a few days ago. Even you were kind of into it.
You started upstairs and we were watching it a little bit. And I was like, just like watching, I mean, it was raining and then it was drizzling at the beginning, it looked like, and then by the end it was just downright pouring.
Yeah, it was raining the whole time. It was cold and rainy.
Yeah,
and
miserable to me. Just another reason why.
It definitely was. I mean, there was elite athletes dropping out of the race because of hypothermia.
Yeah.
I mean, and these are people that have appearance fees. Yeah. Right? Like you don't get your appearance fee or you get very, very little if you don't finish the race, right? Yeah. So for them to drop out, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But the winners of it this year were super inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, so on the men's side, you had a Japanese runner named Yuki Kawauchi.
Mm-hmm.
And Yuki is a guy who he's a high school administrator in Japan.
Oh,
works
that's awesome.
Works full time.
Yes.
This is
I did hear that he was a full time, like he worked full time and ran.
And he runs like a marathon a month.
Yeah.
So like most elite marathoners will run two a year, a spring race and a fall race.
Okay.
So the rest of the year, all they do is train to win the race that they're going to enter.
Okay.
Right. This guy goes to work at a high school in Japan, flies all over the world to run on a weekend. This was his fourth marathon of the year already.
That's crazy. So,
and he wins
Boston. But what was his time? Like you were saying, elite runners were like dropping out and stuff like that. What was his time like in comparison to some of the people that have won in the past?
Because
I know it was a slow race.
It is.
It was
right.
A slower
you gotta think
race
about
because
the conditions.
The conditions. I get that. So I get that. But like, is it like slower by 20 minutes or is it slower by like 2 minutes? Like 2 minutes in their world is like 20 minutes and it's like 20 hours in my world. So,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. It was significantly slower, but he was faster than everybody that day.
Right. Oh, taking it away from him.
So
at all.
I don't. So
and it's interesting that the elites dropped out, but this guy.
Well, not all of them,
but some of them you said.
So, yeah, some for sure.
dropped out, and like all they do, like when you're an elite runner, like that's your job basically, right? It's, you know.
So he finished in 2:15.
That's crazy.
58. Two hours, 15 minutes, and 58 seconds. So a normal win in Boston, I think, would be closer to maybe 2:08.
Right.
Maybe a little less than that. The world record is 2:02
in
something, 57 or something like that.
So the fact that, I mean, it was, again, it's 8 minutes, but...
But, I mean, you had a guy like Galen Rupp of, you know, so Chicago, you know, marathon champion, Galen Rupp, drop out.
Yeah.
Right? Olympic medalist.
Right.
And then, but I mean, it's just, so the nickname of this guy is Citizen Runner.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I just love it. I mean, it was a working class race, and it showed on the women's side too.
Right.
Where American Des Linden, ran, a 2:39.54, and that's definitely slower, but she's faster than everybody that day.
Right.
And, you know, an American, Sarah Sellers, came in second.
Right. I saw
this
that.
This was Sarah's second marathon.
Yeah.
She's a nurse.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I mean, got through. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But when you look at the results, you know, on the men's side, you had USA in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, and
tenth.
Where's
all the, like, Kenyans and stuff? Was it just too cold for them?
Well, that's a lot of it. Yeah, I mean, for sure. They don't train.
They don't train
in
that type of
pouring
weather.
Rain in 38 degrees. Like, a lot of them couldn't hack it. And on the women's side, first, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and tenth. So, I mean, that's a lot of women
US.
in the top 10. So, you know, Des Linden won the race, and, you know, by now it's already become legend, because early in the race she stops, or she doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Early in the race, like mile two, she doesn't feel good, right? Doesn't think it's her day. She tells fellow American and New York City champion Shalane Flanagan, I think she also talked to Molly Huddle, if there's anything that I can do for you today, I don't think this is my day, I'll help. Just tell me. So she went to this kind of servant mindset,
right?
So she's going to now serve other people to try to get through this part of the race. And she's saying to herself, I think I'll drop out, but let me see if I can help them. Well, she got her chance later on when Shalane Flanagan had to make a pit stop.
Oh.
Had to go to the porta potty.
I didn't think those guys like had to do that.
She had to go to the porta potty.
Well, you got to go. You got to go.
And Des waited for her.
What?
Waited for her.
Wow.
And then paced her back into the lead group.
That's awesome.
Shalane ends up finishing this race in seventh.
So at like what point did she say, hey, wait a minute, I think I got this, I can do this? Like what point does like make that?
So there was a runner that went out way out front, and I don't even think that person finished. Oh, no. On the women's open, it wasn't 10th. I'm sorry. Molly Huddle was 16th. I misread that. Either way, So Des just kind of reeled her in. So it's like she's a veteran of this course, and she's like a working class runner. That's the way a lot of people in the running community look at her. And she's finished second there before.
Right.
So she knows what it takes. She knows the hills that are coming. And the person who kind of went out to this long lead, like, had a personal best in the 2:20s. So, you know, to me I was like, well, geez, how are they gonna reel her in? I even said it, like, I was chatting with people, I'm like, I don't think they can reel her in, I think they let her go too far. And then Des and another runner started reeling her in, and I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. And then she just kept going, and then all of a sudden she was in front.
Wow.
I mean, and you could see it. I mean, she was first place by over 4 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, that's just...
That's crazy.
Insane, right?
That's crazy.
And I love, you know, the fact that she waited for people.
Yeah.
That she knew it wasn't her day at the beginning. And then you just don't give up. I mean, that's the whole lesson, right? Mm-hmm. You just don't give up. Things in life are going to knock you down, and you can't give up. So... unbelievable race to me.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's so many inspiring stories out of Boston every year. And this year was no exception with that rain and, You know, the oldest runner, I think, was 85 years old. The last finisher came in at like midnight, who was a cancer survivor. You've got Meb back at the race wearing, you know, a singlet of people that have been, that he's like gotten to know their charity and have been impacted. Right. I mean, it's
Did he run?
Yeah, he ran, but he ran like as a mortal. Yes, that is the pun on purpose because his book is Meb for Mortals.
So like people finishing at midnight, like they don't keep the, like they're just running on the they're running on the sidewalk or basically at that point, right?
Yeah.
But I know that we've watched shows where, you know, documentaries and stuff where people will stay out there and wait for these people. And,
oh, for sure.
And
a lot,
cheer them on.
Absolutely.
There's groups of people that's all they do. They wait for those last people and they go along the course to cheer those people on.
Look,
which I think is amazing.
I'll give a plug for the Sub 30 Club. You know, if you are thinking about running, walking, just want an inspirational group, go find the Sub 30 Club on Facebook. That's got subbers written all over it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you've seen it, right? The decal and the slogan, no subber left behind. They're out there cheering for everybody.
Yeah.
There's people who are in the Sub 30 Club who will fall back and finish last in a race so somebody doesn't feel like they haven't done what they need to do, right?
Yeah.
It's much more of a mindset of it's a community and we're here to support each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an unbelievable... The running community is unreal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's got me thinking in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I listened to a podcast on coaching, it's called, with Magnus and Marcus, who are a couple of coaches, and they talked about all this stuff too, and they brought up one thing that I don't know if it came from Des or if it just describes her, but they talked about being curious versus worried, and I'm a questioner mm-hmm. by nature, so I often worry about things, and especially my own abilities. But now I'm trying to shift that mindset to be more curious about what can I accomplish with whatever is thrown at me on race day.
Yeah.
So to me, that was a really big piece that resonated.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see anything out of Boston that like from a non-runner perspective?
No, I mean, like I said, I watched the very beginning and then I just saw the recaps on the news, you know, and just them talking about it. And it always, and I know every year I ask you, why do they run it on Mondays? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why they run it on Monday.
Patriots Day.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I know there's something special about Boston. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, I don't know if I understand why Boston is so special. Like, why is that the one? Like, what makes it the one?
So, for the same reason that, like, the Masters is the biggest thing for golf, right? It's just... That's the one. And I'm not sure
why?
If Boston's
why
the oldest
the
or not.
Yeah. Like Masters, I feel like that's, you get a jacket at the end. At the Boston, you still just get a medal.
Well, no, if you win the Masters, you get a jacket. Yeah. If you come in second or worse,
you don't get anything
except prize money. At Boston,
you get a medal.
You get a medal. And if you win, you get the laurel wreath, thing.
Yeah.
And you become legend.
Why?
I don't understand the question.
Like, there's marathons all over.
Correct.
And they are all great marathons.
No.
Well, why? What makes Boston then a great marathon? Is it the city? Is it because it's the oldest? Like, I just think part of it is to understand. Like, why makes Boston better than New York? That makes better than Chicago? That makes better than Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you define better. Nobody, I don't think anybody says it's better.
Okay.
But it's one of those things that you have to qualify for by time.
Okay.
And it's tough and it's getting tougher. And it's what everybody wants to do. It's like if you're a golfer, you want to win the Masters.
Right.
If you're a tennis player, you want to win Wimbledon.
Right.
Right. That's not knocking the U.S. Open or the other majors.
Right.
Right. But that's what people want to win.
Okay.
People want to win Boston. They want to be at Boston.
So it's like the legend of Boston.
I guess. I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that it's the pinnacle of the sport is there. Is it the fastest marathon? Nope. Is it the biggest? No.
Is it because it like you? It's like
it's hard.
Hard to qualify.
It is very hard. Why it is hard to qualify.
Such makes it a legend. Because like that's part of it. I mean, Dez is now a legend, yeah. Right? If she had won New York,
she'd still be a legend.
Still a legend.
Yeah.
If she won Chicago,
yeah, I would say so. I mean, Americans.
L.A.
Not as much.
Okay.
Not as much.
Because they're not televised?
Well,
like,
there's world.
Those are all televised. Like,
well, there's world marathon majors.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And L.A.'s not a major.
Oh.
And Americans, period,
yeah.
Men or women, these days at least, don't win a lot of these things. Although,
right.
I can't really say that now.
Yeah.
Because in here, we've seen Shalane win New York and Dez win Boston. And we've seen Galen Rupp win Chicago.
Yeah.
I keep saying that. I'm right about that, right? I'm
Someone will correct you.
Oh, well, that's why we have Google.
makes for a great podcast. I guess that's like my whole thing is like since I am not a runner, right? And it's like but I know that Boston is this one. It's like but why? I don't. I always ask why. You're like, why? Why do you ask why about that stuff? Like, I always ask why questions about stuff, and you're like, look at me like I'm crazy because I ask questions about, like, something that's just ridiculous in your mind.
Well,
this is, like, interesting to me to think why Boston is, like, the pinnacle.
Well, you know, I think
I think the same thing about why is Wimbledon the pinnacle? Why is, you know, the America's Cup? Why is that the pinnacle for sailing? Like, every sport has a pinnacle, right? Is like the one you want to win.
I was correct. Galen Rupp did win Chicago.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Good.
So I think it would be better to have a much more experienced runner than me to answer that kind of a question. I can't really. I mean, to me, it's just like
it's just the way it's been.
That's just it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I can accept that. That's this way. But it's still in my mind. It's like I'm not singling out the Boston Marathon as the why. Like, because like I said, every football, the Super Bowl, that makes sense to me. Right. Like, Super Bowl is the pinnacle for football because you're all playing against each other and it's one. The NFL is the NFL, and that's the Super Bowl. That's
but it
the
has nothing to do with. See, I think the difference. I can't relate it to football or baseball or hockey,
right?
Because I'm not going to play in a Super Bowl. I'm not going to play in a World Series. You can't either.
No.
But we can both run Boston. We could do a charity bib and run it next year.
Oh. Okay.
Right.
You don't have to qualify if you do the charity.
If you do the charity bib, that's the way around it, right?
Got it.
So I found an article in the U.S. News. In World Report, 5 reasons why the Boston Marathon really is a big deal. So you're not the only one who's asked the question. Number one, you have to qualify to run Boston. So
okay.
But
you have to qualify for others as well, right?
Not many.
New York?
It's not really. I think New York does have some sort of a time thing, but it's more of a lottery system.
Okay.
So a lot of them have
Chicago's lottery,
right? Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you have to
have a time qualifier for Boston.
Okay. Can we go back there for 1 second?
Sure.
So time qualifier. So the people that are finishing at midnight, they probably got in on the charity bid.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And there's a lot of people who cheat to try to get in Boston. That's a whole nother subject.
Got it.
Number two, even you can run the Boston Marathon. So
right.
I just talked about that, right?
Right.
So far I'm doing pretty well with this.
Okay.
That's what's special about running. Is that you? Like, I can play I can't play Augusta National, but let's say I could play Olympia Fields, which was a U.S. Open course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't play it at the same time that the pros are playing it in the tournament.
Right.
We run the exact same race.
Right? I get that, you do that for New York and Chicago.
Understood,
and all that stuff
but that's part
okay.
of it, right? But that's part of the allure of it.
The timing, that's number one, and that makes that alone. Okay.
All right. Number three, Boston has a long and storied history. Boston is a tradition. The success of the first modern-day Olympic marathon in 1896 inspired the first Boston marathon race the Boston race in 1897.
Oh.
That makes Boston the world's oldest marathon.
Oh, see,
as well as the oldest consecutively held sporting events in the world.
All right. See, now it's getting my vote.
Well, I don't know why that would matter.
It does, because it's like the oldest, so you always want to be at the oldest.
Next is Boston has great spectators.
Okay.
And they're legendary.
Chicago, got to step up your game here.
Well, it's different in Boston because, so here's one of the things about Boston that to me is so incredible. Like in New York, you might run through five boroughs, right? Mm-hmm. In Chicago, you're running through all the neighborhoods, 20 some odd neighborhoods probably.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe more. In Boston, you're running through different cities. Like they're different towns you're running through.
Got it.
And so like when you get to like Wellesley, it's legendary that the girls are out there giving runners a kiss and, you know, kind of stuff, right?
Got it.
So the spectators are just unbelievable, right?
Okay.
And now number five in this list, and I think what, you know, a lot of people think about is the fact that it's now a place of remembrance. It's a place that the sport was and America was attacked, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so, you know, it's pretty special to be on those, you know, hallowed streets, right? You know, to run things like Heartbreak Hill, which is, you know, very well known.
Yeah.
And to make that left turn on Boylston towards the finish. I mean, those are things that people aspire to do. So,
All right.
You know, hopefully that helps you. And
that helps me.
Maybe helps others who are like, why is that stuff such
a
big deal?
It's a valid, and obviously the New York Times agreed it was a valid question.
Well, this, I think it was U.S. News.
Oh, I thought you said New York Times.
Well, I might have, but it was U.S. News.
Okay, well, U.S. News, well, if it was Times, then okay, but news, whatever.
Ugh.
Ugh.
So, I mean, it's honestly on my mind, right? Like, could I get good enough to qualify for Boston in my 50s?
So if you were to do the Boston, it's like, so you've been talking about doing marathons, right? So if you decide, like, you know what, I want to do Boston, would you want to do it as a qualifier or would you want to do it as a charity? Or would you settle to do it as a, not settle, but would you do it as a charity? Because, you know, just to do it.
This is a tough question.
Okay.
And I've actually thought about this a lot. I've run for charity before.
Yep.
And I think I would be apt to, if I didn't, like, let's say Chicago. Let's say I wanted to run Chicago. And I didn't get in with the lottery, I would have no qualms at all about running with a charity bib.
Okay.
In Boston, I would have no qualms about running with a charity bib if I had already qualified before. Like, to me, there's something about Boston. Like, if I do Boston, I really want to qualify for it.
Okay.
That's personal.
You're right. You're not judging that, anybody else.
Gosh, no. Because that said, like the minimum for a charity bib raise per person at Boston, $7,500, which means the charities get a lot
of money. They get a lot of money. So it's a great.
Like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So that component, that charitable component, which is also pretty unique to running.
Yeah.
Especially in particular road racing. Yeah. Right. It's a big deal. And so people who have charities that struggle for your dollar,
right,
this is a really good way to get them.
Yeah.
And there's other races that happens at, but Boston, and I don't know how much of the 7500 they get. I have no idea.
Right.
But it has to be a pretty darn big chunk for them to put such effort into it.
I would assume so.
You know, and I probably could ask. I mean, one of the people in Sub 30, Elizabeth, she's the director of Back on My Feet, Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, just got done. And that's a huge fundraiser for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big deal. So I really think that I would do it other races as a charity first before I would do Boston that way.
What's the qualifier for Boston?
It's tiered depending on age.
So what's your qualifier then?
Well, right now?
Yeah.
I think it's like 325 or something.
Because your brother did Boston, right? He qualified.
Several times.
A couple times he qualified, right?
But he qualifies pretty much every time he races a marathon.
Yeah.
So the qualifying times are getting tougher. And the problem really is that you have to, the last several years, you have to be under the qualifying times.
So
by several minutes.
Oh.
So, for example, right now I'm in the 45 to 49 group. It's 3 hours, 25 minutes.
Okay.
Women for that same age group are 3 hours, 55 minutes.
I don't think I'm going to qualify.
So, at 50, I get another 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. That's it?
Right.
Seriously?
And it gets to 3:30. So thinking about the fact that I thought a 220 half marathon was probably fast.
You got some training to. Hey, Carol did it in 4 months.
Well, she didn't qualify for Boston.
I know, but she to do a.
I could finish. I could train and finish a marathon.
Right.
It's just how fast.
Yeah.
Could I do it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could do it in 6 hours and 45 minutes. Pretty close to now. Depending on weather.
Yeah.
Because weather is the great equalizer in this stuff. But I have to wait all the way till I'm 60 to get to 3 hours and 55 minutes. It might take me that long.
It might take that long.
So who knows?
But to qualify, there's only certain races that you can race. Like, you can't just go to any marathon. You have to go to a Boston qualifying
marathon, which is a lot of them,
right?
Though.
There's a lot of them now?
There's a ton of them, right? And even here in Chicago, they've got one called, a BQ.2,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a super easy, I think slightly downhill course that's meant to be fast, to be a last-ditch effort to qualify for Boston.
Got it.
Did I just say Boston?
You said Boston.
Wow. I don't know where that came from.
We've been talking about it a lot.
Yeah, over there.
Over there.
Boston. Right there. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that would be really cool.
Yeah, I would go there.
I would love to go spectate.
I would love to go to Boston. I went to Boston once when I first started working for my company. Day two of working there, I had to go to Boston for a meeting. And I got to see the airport, the bridge. You had to go underneath a bridge to get out of the airport, and I was driving, and I got to see a hotel, and that was about it. I was there for like a day and a half. I did not get to see any of my friends that lived there, because I had some friends living there at the time. So I would love to go to Boston.
Well, we should go watch.
Yeah, I do that.
I can't believe I didn't go ever when my brother ran it, but I didn't. So.
Well, it's on a Monday. It's kind of hard. You got to take a day off, and then...
That's super hard to take a day off.
Well, you know what? I think Joe needs to go run the Boston Marathon again. And then,
well, maybe.
Sarah would go again for that. Sarah and Claire, they'll go. We'll all go. Make it a family. Except we went to LA.
We did. We did go to LA to watch him. That was great. So that's my take on Boston and kind of what went on. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of it to me has been resonating. I'm reading a book by Alex Hutchinson called Endure. And we'll get into that some other time. I really thought Alex would make a great podcast guest.
Yeah.
And then I listened to him on at least 6 different podcasts.
Oh.
So.
He's like old news now.
It's kind of like a podcast whore.
Oh, we got to wait then. Let his hype die down.
Yeah, we have some other guests that we're lining up soon.
We're a hot ticket.
I don't know about that.
Everyone wants to be on our show.
I don't know about all that. But people are on the show. Nonetheless,
whether they want to be on it or not,
at times they are. So we did get one review, by the way. So let me find the review. It's from friend of the show, and he was on the last one. So Peter Belarchek. He said, "Love the flow." 5 stars.
Of course. Well,
we only had 1 4-star, and then she corrected.
And
that.
She corrected herself. We had to prove ourselves.
Right. As a patron, I can't really get on her. Love the flow of the show. I've recently gotten away from low-carb podcasts due in part to the dryness or over-cerebral approach.
We are not.
We're none of those things.
No. Nothing smart about us.
He says, most miss a human element, the realness. This show has gotten me in. Happy Pete found me. Well, I'm happy I found you too, brother. it's interesting because I have gotten some feedback lately about the fact that it's real, it's genuine.
Yeah.
We argue at times, which they find entertaining. You know, I get myself in trouble. Nobody mentioned the quotes, though.
They will. Just you wait.
But people have said they like the music, so.
I know, and I like the
poor
music,
Safar,
too.
Poor Safar.
Yes. Poor Safar. Well, you just need
to learn. I will. It's going to take a while, though. I'm going to.
Or
look,
if anyone wants to do it for free.
If you want to contribute to the show by editing, I am all in on that. It probably won't take
me
long.
We'll give you a tagline.
We'll give you a tagline?
I don't know. We'll give you credit.
Yeah, we will give you credit.
Yeah, we'll give you credit.
And maybe a mug.
Or a shirt.
Or a shirt.
Or both.
Or both. The tech shirts are great.
Yeah, tech shirts are great.
That's really...
Where's Michaela's?
So I thought I ordered stuff. I got to look.
Yeah, you totally... We ordered one for her.
I know. I thought I ordered... Well, I thought I ordered. Yeah. So I have to look to see what happened.
Yeah, because usually they're like there within like days. Like yeah. They're so quick to turn around.
So I have shipped to other people. So I could have done that again. Because
Linda,
they're deep.
Did you because, get?
Well, they don't default it back to your own address. They default it to whoever you sent the last thing to. It's really a bad system.
Linda's sporting Michaela's child.
Yeah. I mean, look, no offense to Zazzle. They do a fine job.
They do a great job.
But I am
very,
looking for other
company.
I'm looking for other platforms because the commission's pretty low.
Are we up to $10 yet?
I don't know. But, you know, we're not trying to make a lot of money. We're just trying to cover the cost of the show up to a certain point,
well,
right?
And also it's, you know, we don't have to hold inventory and all that wonderful
stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, the part that's great, though, is that there has been a lot of swag bought, and we really appreciate it. So
yeah, I think it's great.
You find it at Zazzle.com/Fatman Chronicles, and I really should get a link to that store on my on the website. I just don't have it.
I hear that's easy to do.
I hear it is, too. You know what it all comes down to? Time and thinking about it at that moment when you have it. So it's, but a lot of people have been posting their, you know, mugs and shirts and, and by a lot, I mean at least three, which is a huge, the Be Better Today movement is out there.
It's out there.
So we really like it. And the runners seem to like the pavement for breakfast hashtag. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. We even got Boone.
Yes.
He was
wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
With his hard nipples.
Wow. I don't know if we needed that.
There it is. Like, I gave Jen a hard time about that.
Wow. That was out of left field. I would not have said that. Poor Boone.
There's nothing wrong with it.
That barely fits in our PG-13 podcast. If it was somebody else's hard nipples, it's one thing. But Boone's.
But Boone's, that's an issue.
Jeez.
That's an issue.
All right. Well, anything else, or should we wrap her up since we're already an hour in here?
I think we're done.
All right. Well, I can't talk about the music tonight because I'm not going to put it in. So anyway, you've been listening to episode 30 of the Fat Man Chronicles. You can find us on social media at Fat Man Stories or on, I think that's pretty much everywhere. I think it's facebook.com/fatmanstories too. You can find us online at fatmanchronicles.com.
Oh, God.
You look like you were zoning out. I had to do something. But more importantly, if you can subscribe on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as they call it these days, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or your favorite podcast app, that would be great. We really appreciate it. And while you're there, if you can give us a 5-star rating or review, that's awesome. If it's 1-star, look, we get it. We totally understand that.
Keep your opinions to yourself.
No, just drop it in there. And then, as we said, you can find some great swag over at the Zazzle.com/Fatman Chronicles store. So that's it for this week. Remember to get out there and be better today.